This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You might think the ARIA charts are all about what's hot right now, but in reality, they've become dominated by songs released years, even decades ago. Think Kate Bush, Fleetwood Mac, and anything that pops up in a Netflix series. But now, ARIA is making the biggest shakeup in over a decade. From September, any song more than 2 years old will be shifted to a brand new on replay chart, clearing space for fresh releases. Well, joining us now to find out what this all means and whether it could be a game changer for Aussie artists is Catherine Strong, Associate Professor of Music Industry at RMIT. Kath, welcome to Drive.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Kath, I think about when I was a kid running down to the local Brasher store, grabbing the 3XY Top 40 chart and, you know, finding out what's number one in the country was such an exciting thing to do. But I feel like the ARIA charts over the last few years, they've sort of lost that, I won't say importance, but reliability. Why do you reckon that's been the case?
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of changes in the way that people listen and the way that people engage with music. So the last big change they made to the charts was about 2014, where they started introducing streaming, so getting streaming into the charts as well, because obviously that is such a different way that we engage with music. And much harder to track in some ways. If you buy like a physical album, then they know that like one physical album has been sold, but streaming works in such a completely different way that it meant that things changed about how you track who is being listened to the most as opposed to just who is being purchased the most. But I think, yes, you're right, that people don't pay quite as much attention to the charts as they once did. And I think that that's part of it. I think there are also other ways now that we track who is listening to what. So you can look at how many streams something has. You can look at how many times someone's watched a music video on YouTube. So it isn't the only game in town anymore.
If we think about Stranger Things and Kate Bush and Running Up That Hill, how it went to number one, and we've seen Fleetwood Mac, I think they're still on the charts, I understand. What can you explain, why do these old songs, I mean, I'm happy that they're coming back on the charts, to be honest, but that shows my age. But why is it that these old songs seem to stick around?
It's partly because with all of these different ways that we encounter music now, there are ways for music to go viral that mean that old things can reappear in a whole variety of different ways. So the Netflix, you know, featuring Kate Bush is one on Stranger Things is one good example. But the other thing that's been happening a lot lately is that some really unexpected old song will start being used on TikTok videos. And once something appears on TikTok, other people will pick it up and it could get associated with a particular dance trend or a particular way of telling stories. And that is a new way for things to get back into people's consciousness. Like I know that Oh Superman has been being played on TikTok a lot lately, which is just completely unexpected. So, yeah, some really unusual things get a new look in via these different platforms and ways we encounter music.
If you've just joined us, we're chatting with music industry expert Kath Strong about the biggest change to the ARIA charts in more than a decade. Let's talk about this change, Kath. It seems to be aimed at supporting new music, especially local music. Do you think it will work?
It will do something. It'll be really interesting to see exactly how it plays out. But the problem at the moment is that the charts are so dominated by not only this older music, even though that's part of the problem, but what we have seen since streaming has been counted in the charts is that we've seen a growth in the dominance in the charts of North American and UK artists. And local artists, the percentage of local artists in the charts has just been gradually declining ever since that happened. So finding a way for local artists to even sort of register at all in this chart system is the thing that ARIA is trying to do here. And one of the things that people have been very worried about is the lack of visibility of Australian artists. And this is just one part of that problem. The other thing that people talk about is how it's very hard to get the sort of algorithms on platforms like Spotify to pick up Australian artists and promote them through the playlists that they put together too. So this is just one way to start to get just even the names and a couple of songs back out there in people's consciousness so that some of these artists can get a bit of traction.
It's really interesting because I was having this chat with one of the music people here at Joy, and I was saying, you know, I feel like if you look at the 80s and the early 90s, there was this big thing of Australian music, and, you know, we had Split Enz, we had so many Aussie music artists. I mean, there's so many to name that were doing so well on the charts. And I was wondering, why is it that we're not seeing them now? So potentially it's not that the artists aren't there or the songs aren't good. It's just that they're not getting the exposure onto the charts. Is that fair enough?
Look, it's really hard to tell exactly what's going on with these sorts of things. Like, it might actually be that people aren't producing good songs at the moment. That's just like an impossible thing to measure. Like, how do you go out and like work out, oh, the actual quality of the stuff has declined. Like, that's such a subjective thing. But definitely this idea of exposure, like the whole music industry has become more monopolistic, right? So the big artists are sort of sucking up more and more of the oxygen. You see that with things like the big tours we've had over the last few years where every single person and their dog is talking about the Taylor Swift tour, but it's really hard to get people, well, it's more hard to get people to go to like the small local venues to see that like up and coming band. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, but it is just part of this overall shift towards big companies, big artists, big tours, big releases. And when you've got an environment that looks increasingly like that, it does get harder and harder for anybody to break into that cycle.
Kath, what changes are being made to the ARIA charts?
So what we're seeing is older things being moved out. So anything that is more than 2 years old, about 2 years old, is going to be put into this ARIA on replay chart for older releases. So they will still have their run. So they're still going to have their you know, it'll be acknowledged that they're doing really well. But it just does mean that anything that comes out more recently is going to have a better chance of getting into the chart. So it's not competing against, you know, the Fleetwood Mac album that is just constantly there. And by doing that, it does mean there is a better chance that Australian artists will end up in those charts as well.
Shortly, I'm going to play a track by a Melbourne band, Telenova. It's called Power. I think it's amazing. I never heard it. I've never heard it on commercial radio. We play it a lot here on Joy, and I was always surprised, why hasn't this charted? It is such an amazing song. Do you think that commercial radio needs to perhaps pull up their socks a little bit here and carry more Aussie music?
Yeah, that is one of the things that the industry has been arguing for quite strongly as well, is to start to get quotas in various places, like not even just on radio, but also things like what gets played on television, what gets played in, I think even somebody was talking about like supermarket playlists and things like that. Just going back to a situation where there is sort of a commitment to having a certain amount of local content represented in places where people are then likely to hear it. I mean, this has always been something that gets a lot of debate and a lot of controversy. There's always that question about, well, what if it's not good enough? What if we're just sort of doing this tokenistic thing? But I think, again, if you're in a situation where as a country like Australia, you are pushing back against some really strong forces when it comes to cutting through, I don't think it hurts to give people a little bit of a boost up and try and get that local stuff out there.
Absolutely. What should we do as music lovers individually if we want to support Aussie artists beyond just, I suppose, streaming them?
I think going to some live gigs seems to be the big thing at the moment, that supporting the venues that we need to keep in business to sort of have these artists get their foot in the door, get a chance to play, get a chance to practice. Going out and just finding that new band that you might not have come across otherwise by just turning up to a random place where live music is playing and just seeing what's happening.
Kath, always good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you so much.
That was Kath Strong, Associate Professor of Music Industry at RMIT University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.